to The Confident Healer. I'm your host, Sharmila Mali, and in this podcast, we have inspirational, uplifting, and soulful conversations about the ins and outs of having confidence as a healer and as a healer in business. Hello, and welcome to The Confident Healer. I'm your host, Sharmila Mali, and today is another solo cast. Did you miss me? I missed you. I missed just talking to you. So this week I wanted to reflect on something that happened a couple weeks ago. It's probably been 3 weeks because we're already third week in April. My grandfather, who's 93, who's very bright and active. He's a musician. He still gardens. He was watering his garden and tripped over the hose, and he had a wooden perimeter around the garden, and he fell and cracked his knee, broke his kneecap because he fell on the wood. He's going to need surgery to repair the kneecap. It's just cracked, it's not shattered, which is amazing. So he's being wheeled around the house by my grandma, my 81-year-old grandmother, and my mother, who's there, my father, who's there, helping out as well. That was right before Easter. I took that weekend off
from making an episode
because I just didn't have the bandwidth. I couldn't think of anything I wanted to talk about. And I had intended to do one, but then I was like, well, it's Easter weekend. Maybe I'll just take a break. Not that I celebrate Easter, but it just gave me, a national holiday in the US to give myself a break. And I realized after being in a meeting with some of my colleagues at the wellness center that we work out of, Soul Body Ojai, that even though I wasn't, and this episode is about, it's about energy and obviously self-love, self-care, because, I'm your go-to self-love gal. So I realized that, I just didn't feel any creativity flowing about what to do for this podcast, for that episode. I didn't have any speakers lined up. They were all lined up later, after Easter. And it's not that I was worried, I wasn't constantly thinking about and I spoken to him. He was fine. He is still fine. He's having surgery on Wednesday. In fact, I did some energy work and sound healing on him and my grandmother and my mom the next day, the day after Easter. It's just funny, cause sometimes you don't realize how things affect you. You don't realize the stress that you're dealing with. And maybe some of you throughout the pandemic, those of you who didn't lose your job, who just switched to working at home or whatever, there became different things to stress out about because now you're working from home and maybe your kids are at home and, life changed dramatically overnight for all of us, right? And I don't think I realized the stress it was putting on me until a couple months later, because I just kept doing the things that I do for myself and also an extra added thing just to keep my immunity healthy. But with my grandfather, I wasn't thinking about it. It wasn't on my mind. I wasn't worrying or anything, but it was there in my consciousness. And that took up my creativity. And I didn't have, and of course, any other person would have probably planned these out if you're doing a solo cast and plan what you're going to say. But me, I'm spontaneous. I go with the flow and I go with the flow of my creativity. I just follow it and follow those little glimpses do this, talk about this. And I just wasn't getting anything. And I was trying to maybe I could, and I just wasn't feeling it. So if I'm not feeling it, I can't just make up an episode about something. you know, that's aligned with how I feel and the energy behind it. So, you know, I just wanted to talk about that and how, even though if you feel like you're not worrying about someone or something, but something's wrong, you know, and you do other, you know, you just continue moving forward with the things that you're doing, but somewhere it's still affecting you. And just how that affected me. I just wasn't expecting that to affect me. And I didn't attribute it to the fall that my grandfather had. And when I finally put that together, after the fact, when I was like, no, I'm not going to do an episode. And I wait till the last minute. I'm like, well, maybe. And then I'm like, no, it's Monday. I'm not doing it. And we had our monthly meeting the first Monday of the month, every month for Soul Body Ojai. And that's when I realized that it did affect me, even though I wasn't like thinking about it 24/7. I was still affected by it, and it affected my flow. And that's okay, because sometimes that happens. And like, I can't imagine me being there, like my mom, who's retired, so she has that time to be there. And the stress, like I know this amount of stress that she's under because she's in it, you know, and that's her father that she's taking care of. And, you know, there's just so many realizations with somebody in their early to mid 90s. And just, I mean, no matter how you can prepare yourself, you know, when they go, it's going to be different. And I've just sort of, you know, being so far away, we live on different coasts. I know that I'm going to get a call one day, and there's really no way I can prepare for that. But I just, you know, I don't know. I just don't, I don't think about it, but I think about, I don't think, well, I'm saying that I don't, it's not something that weighs heavy on my mind, but like when I talk to him, I'm like, yeah, I might get a call one day saying that he died. So usually, you know, when I've heard of my friends who have elderly parents, you know, I'm very lucky. I still have grandparents. It's like when they get to a certain age and they start falling, and, you know, it just starts to go downhill from there. Of course, that crosses my mind, and I can see like all those things, you know, just kind of how it was like just kind of there. And with that news, like blocking my flow. I remember, I think the second time he had a heart attack, he had, it was his 90th birthday, and there was a hurricane. So they had to evacuate. So they went up to Maryland, where we have a lot of family. So they threw him a surprise party. And I think there's just the stress of everything. He wasn't feeling well. And so my grandmother took him to the emergency room, and he was having a heart attack. And since he was flying home, you know, they kept him in the hospital for like, I think it was like a week or so, until he was strong enough to fly home. And so when I got that news, I just remember coming home, feeling the release of everything. And I, you know, I had emotional release. And for me, that was crying, and just realizing like, yeah, you know, like his mortality, and he was 90 at the time. And, but I think that the hurricane affecting my parents and my grandfather having a heart attack, and they had evacuated.
Okay, so I just want to clarify here that my grandparents live in a coastal city, and they had evacuated to Maryland, and my parents live inland, but because the hurricane was such a huge hurricane, they were affected by that. I forgot what it was. I think it was Hurricane Irma. They were affected by it too, because the eye was passing over their city, which means lots of rain. And I was on the phone with my mother. They had lost power, and she had texted me. She was charging her phone in the car in their garage. And I was, you know, trying to give her updates about, you know, how long it would take for the hurricane to pass through their city. So just giving you a picture of a very stress-filled weekend, which I didn't realize was affecting me until I had finished working and finished working for the entire weekend and had come home.
For me, just realizing how that stress affects you and just dealing with it instead of, you know, trying to keep yourself busy. I mean, I was just going about my day, you know, working and like, okay, like he's in the hospital. He's, you know, I mean, I've given up on worrying because I realized what a waste of energy it is to sit there and worry, because worrying isn't going to help the situation and it's definitely not going to help my health. You know, it just adds more stress to it. Jumping back to a couple of weeks ago about my grandfather, like I said, I wasn't worried about him. I wasn't worried about the situation, but it was still stressful enough for me to notice how it was affecting me. As you go through life and observe some of the things that affect you and what you spend your energy on, and especially like worry and being resentful, you know, some of these negative emotions that have a lot of meaning to them, because there's a reason why you're feeling like that. And maybe it's kind of an inherited thing. Like that's what I inherited from my parents. You know, they worry a lot. They always tell me, we worry about you. So I gave up on spending a lot of energy worrying because I realized it doesn't add to anything, but just noticing the stress and how that affects me. And if you notice for yourself how it affects you and in what ways, you know, some people emotionally eat, some people, you know, it makes them moody and they lash out, or they just like dive in, you know, just totally ignore it. But it's just important to observe your emotions, noticing like how news about things affect you and your life and how you handle them, so that you don't collapse under the weight of that stress, whether it's just like an emotional breakdown or emotional or physical breakdown, looking at that thread and like, oh, okay, how can I strengthen that point, that weak point in myself, so that it doesn't bring me down? I'm just saying how I noticed how it affected me, and I just wasn't expecting that. So that's one thing I wanted to talk about. The other thing that's also very stress relieving for me, and it's part of my self-care, is I have a hobby. It's always been a hobby of dancing. And now I take dance classes, and I've been taking Bollywood for, oh my God, it's like been 4 years. 4 years I've been Bollywood dancing. And it's like kind of significant because I grew up watching Bollywood films. And back then we only had one TV, and you know, these films are 3 hours long. And so they'd watch two, and mind you, these were bootleg copies on Betamax, or which was the small VHS tapes or videotapes, and then the regular VHS tapes. So these were like really shitty copies. And so we would complain as kids, like, you know, can we watch something else? Like, I don't understand these.
To clarify, you know, we didn't speak Hindi, and most of the time the movies weren't subtitled. So we had no idea what was going on. And, you know, growing up in America, we were used to watching American films that had a plot. They weren't musicals. They just didn't break out into song in the middle of a scene out of nowhere. And so, you know, as a kid, I just had no idea that these films were pure escapism. And so, yeah, so it was boring. Some of it, you know, I enjoyed some of the films. But, you know, they weren't made for kids. They weren't made for little kids. And we wanted to watch kid, you know, movies made for kids that we could understand. If you would have told my 10-year-old self that one day in your 40s, you're going to be dancing and you're going to find it so much fun to be dancing to Bollywood music, my 10-year-old self would not have believed you.
So, but dancing, it's just always brought me joy. That's something, if I could have done anything, I would have begged my mother to put me in a dance class, and I would have found a way to make that happen because I've always loved dancing. I've always loved hip hop dancing, and I always thought you had to be born with it. I was like, God, there's no way you can learn that. Like for like singing and, you know, some things, I mean, everything you can learn, but sometimes people just really have a talent for it. And when I would see these people, different types of people dancing to different types of music, like, you know, those Russian dances where they're squatting and jumping up and down, you know, jumping and squatting and kicking and jumping. And so I'm like, holy shit, like how did, like a fucking spring, you know, that's bouncing up and down. And so I was always a clubber. I would just go club dancing, and I didn't know that you could take outside of college classes, like choreograph, because the only type of dancing I thought you could just learn was ballroom. And I had tried it, but I don't do well with partner, or at least I didn't think I did well. You know, it just takes time to adjust to that, to partner dancing. And so when I'm dancing at a club, you know, you're usually dancing with your friends, you know, you're not really dancing on unless somebody's trying to come up to you. So I was just always used to dancing by myself. And I always thought choreography would be so hard for me because I'm, you know, I'm just naturally moving to music, and to stop and do that, like, I was like, oh, I have to think about it. And it just like throws me off my rhythm. But it's been a huge, amazing learning curve. And, you know, when you stick with something, you do actually learn it. And I've gotten better learning choreography, and it's just been like amazing. It's just, especially during the pandemic, we could no longer go into the studio. We had to go, we had to do it online. So I'm at home dancing. Luckily I have tile floors so I can do that. And that has been my saving grace, was Humsa Dance Studio. And so shout out to Humsa. And we are performing, we're doing a live stream show on April 24th. I'll have that in the show notes at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time. I just never thought that I would be able to learn choreography. I just thought that was just something that was beyond me. Like, because I wanted to take ballet classes, and I looked up, and they were all for little kids. I didn't have any adult class. And I just thought, would they let me take a class with 4-year-olds? I don't know. Because then I'd be ending up helping them, you know, being the teacher's aide. So yeah, I had taken, like,
to clarify, I'm talking about Humsa Dance Studio.
They used to offer ballet, and it was just, you know, standing at the bar, doing these exercises, the repetitive exercises that I just loved. And it has a lot to do with the teachers. The teachers were just, all the teachers that have come through Humsa have just been so amazing. And I have taken so many different styles of classes. I'm gonna start crying because it just makes me so happy. It brings me so much joy to dance. And we were practicing. We called it dance camp because it was like a dance intensive rehearsals. So we had rehearsals like twice a day. So we had these, we were wearing our costumes for Gumar, which is a women's folk dance. And we have these veils, you know, pinned to our hair, and wearing the skirts and dupatta and the jewelry, and so that you can get used to moving in it. Because before we're just in just, you know, workout clothes, and, you know, we all just look so beautiful. And then the music started playing and we're dancing, and I started like welling up with tears. And I think it was just like kind of, it was just everything. They were happy, happy tears, tears of joy, and just everything that we've all been through as a collective, all the women and everyone on the planet, you know, through this whole past year, through going through this pandemic, and being able to be in the same room together and dance. And I just, so it starts off, you know, I can't sing it, but it just starts off kind of slow, and it's like very moody. And I'm just like, you know, and then we turn around, and I'm just like breathing through my tears and like smiling. And it was just so funny. I was just laughing at myself, but it was just everything, you know, just the being able to dance, being able to physically do it, just the miracle of your body and the pure joy of like, oh my God, like here we are doing this, and we get to perform. Like, that's the added bonus part of it, you know, not only to dance and just be express yourself and the joy that it brings all of us as dancers, but then to be able to perform that. And I used to think that when I was pursuing acting, like I don't know, there was something about it that I just couldn't justify because it just seemed so, such a self-absorbed thing. It's an art. And if you want to make any money, you need to get into film and TV. So you need to move out to Hollywood or New York City. You know, you don't get to do a lot of acting because
you spend a lot of time looking for an audition. You spend a lot of time looking for an acting job, looking for a regular job to pay your rent, and looking for an agent, a cheap photographer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you never really get around to actually acting unless you're really lucky. And then you spend a lot of time auditioning, but never booking anything.
And I don't know. I always loved performing. And I couldn't justify acting. And on top of the low confidence that I felt about like auditioning, you know, just that everything that an actor goes through an audition, it's just nerve-wracking, and the rejection over and over, you know, it weighs on you. It really weighs on you. And so I think I've just come to a place in my life where performing to me means it's like, hey, look, like, here's something I love to do and I want to show you. And how there's nothing, I don't know, there just doesn't seem anything wrong with that. And I don't know why I had such a weird relationship to performing, especially as an actor. And of course, people love to watch performances. My friend was like, yeah, it's good to accomplish a goal. It's like, well, for me, it's not like really a goal. It's just to be able to like bring joy into someone's life and to be able to show some of your talent, to share some of your talent, I guess that's what it is, to show and share your talent, right? In the US, we have show and tell as a kid, right? You bring something in and you talk about it. You share something about yourself or something that you learned, and it was called show and tell. So for me, dancing has always been, it's always been a form of self-love and self-care. It's been such a buzzword for the past couple of years, self-care and self-love. And I remember I was in some Facebook group and this woman was like, you know, I'm doing all these things to take care of myself, and I just feel like I'm not doing enough, you know, like I'm not loving myself enough. And my friend who's moderating that group, she's like, no, well, what I'm getting is you are enough and you don't need to do anymore. You can get into your head about anything, right? And you can do that with self-love. Like, okay, I've got this. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. What else do I need to do to love myself? What else do I need to do to show that I'm loving myself? And all this pressure that you put yourself under because maybe you're on social media and you see like self-care, self-love, love yourself. And, you know, it's just about doing things that make you happy, right? Just doing something just for you. And sometimes it's just being. Maybe it's just sitting with a book. Maybe it's just sitting on your front step, watching the world go by for a few hours. But that's all self-care and self-love. And this is just part of it for me, dancing. Gives me physically active. Because of all that physical movement, it moves your energy. You can work things out. If you're feeling stressed, it just, you know, you can express it out and it comes out and get your blood pumping. It has so many benefits. And when I dance, it doesn't feel like I'm working out. It's just fun. And I've been practicing. We've been, especially this past week, rehearsing a lot. And even though it's like, it's a lot of work, it's just so worth it. It's so worth it. I just can't wait for the show and to be able to watch it later. Cause unfortunately we can't watch everyone dance cause we have to be out of the line of sight of the camera, but I am just so looking forward to doing it. And I've been looking forward to rehearsing with my other friends that are in the show, because it just helps me be a better dancer. Because most of these women they've been taking classes since they were four, and they've like performed professionally many times. So because we're in group pieces, it's important to obviously be in sync. And like my knees were hurting just a little this morning. And I'm like, come on, knees, come on, let's keep going. We have to perform. And, you know, I'm just putting a lot of practice time in, and it's just been, I don't know, it's just been so good on so many levels, you know, cause I'm like sitting there, like, I can't believe like we are in the same space together, cause we haven't been. Yeah. It just, it feels so, so good. So I just wanted to share like some of my self-care practices, and it doesn't have to look like anyone else's. This is just what I'm sharing and how it just brings me so much joy. And then after that, I take a salt bath to soak my bones. And I also don't do anything. Like, especially I've been practicing the same song for like 3 hours. I'm like, okay, I'm done. I need to just like not do anything. So like, there's a part of me that likes to be super active. And then it's like, part of me is like, I need to be a couch potato for a couple hours. And so I, you know, just balancing that out. But yeah, dancing and the upcoming show called
Dwaram,
which means doorway, because dance is a doorway to so many things. Brings you joy. It's a doorway of expression and sharing that. So 5:30, April 24th. I'll put it in the show notes. It's tickets are by donation. And if you can't make it at that time, if you purchase a ticket, you'll get a recorded link after the show is over. Probably take a couple of days for them to make the link available, but it will be. And of course, it supports HMSA and another organization that is based out of India that my dance teacher and her husband volunteer and work for, this nonprofit.
Created by their spiritual teacher, and the name of his organization, forgive me for not pronouncing it right, Adhyatmik. And that's adhyatmik.org. And of course, I'll have this in the show notes.
And her husband is also the cameraman. So it's all in the family. So if you can, please click the link and get a ticket and watch it live or watch it recorded. It's just going to be a fun, lively show. It's Bollywood and some classical dancing. And so I just wanted to make sure I plug that. And yeah, just do something for yourself or be something for yourself as a form of self-love. So whether it's dancing or swimming or reading or just taking a break and doing nothing, drinking some water or some warm tea or a beer, I don't know, whatever floats your boat. And just giving yourself some time to reflect, some time to not reflect, some time to not think, go to a movie, whatever it is you do for your own self-care, and not to put any pressure on yourself to make sure that you're doing all the right things about caring for yourself. So take care, and thanks for listening to this week's episode with me, Sharmila, your self-love expert and energy healer. I will see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening. Please go to www.theconfidenthealer.net. This is the best place to listen to the podcast, and it's also where you can go and find the guest info in the show notes. Remember, there are 3 important actions to take to help grow the show. Invite others to listen, leave a review if you learned something new, or if you just learned something, and by leaving a donation. You can find the links on theconfidenthealer.net. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.